I can't bring his phone. Maybe it'll come up.
I think Callan might be our first.
Yes. Right after primary loyalty rule.
Can you be here?
Yeah, I'll give it to you. Yeah.
So did you read all this good stuff?
Okay.
I did indeed.
The last meeting. He's going to get it.
That little thing up there.
It's gone.
That shows up pretty well.
Can you hear how many? 4 times now or 3 times?
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
So, nobody likes to talk about this subject, but I'm going to try to make this a little more interactive than maybe we usually have. That's why I'm standing up. Sitting down at the table.
Can I ask a question first? Is this, do you do this every year for under AB 1, the old 1234? Is that what this recalls?
No, it's not required, but.
Oh, this body doesn't have to comply with that?
Well, we do comply with that.
I mean, I know you do 700s, but the training every 2 years.
The ethics you do have to do. This doesn't qualify.
Oh, okay, I got you. That's what I was just.
But as a board trustee, you do have mandatory education that you have to do, and this would count towards that. We do the fiduciary education about every 2 years. The last time we did that was October 2 years ago.
That's fine. I just.
And as well as the Brown Act, which is following, and the
But Karen never got that. See.
No, I've
this
had.
This is just for you, Karen.
I've had. Do you know that if you are on a state board, what you get at other things does not count? You still have to do the 2 hours online. In addition, I've got more certificates coming out the wazoo, but not the state.
Too much information.
Sorry. Well, that's your definition of a wazoo.
So do we have a motion to receive and file?
Yeah.
Good. So here's what really I'd like to do. You've got materials. Okay, you've given an outline of some highlighted points. And in the materials, you've got a couple of our policies, which is always good for everybody to read. Exhibit A really is just the provisions of the Constitution and the government code, the 37 Act of Searle, that talk about fiduciary responsibilities. Exhibit B is our very own CSERA Code of Fiduciary Conduct and Ethics. C is some FPPC regulations that relate to conflicts of interest. Exhibit D that I've given you is our conflict of interest code that tells who has to fill out Form 700s and that sort of thing. And Exhibit E is an excerpt from the Brown Act. Karen's going to be talking a little bit about the Brown Act. I want you to, I'm not going to go through all these materials.
Thank you.
Okay? Big sigh of relief. I want to focus, and I'm going to use some hypotheticals so that you get to talk too. But I want you to use, especially the outline, use it as a checklist as we go through this conversation. See if you can spot the issues. That's why I said I'd put up on this. You haven't seen the hypothetical. One of them, I've got a hypothetical in there we'll get to hopefully. But as we go through these scenarios, I want you to spot the issues. Use this checklist to kind of remind yourself about some of the things that are really critical. And I want to start, let's put these up here so we don't have to do that. Just basic framework, fundamental fiduciary responsibilities, primary loyalty, and this leads to everything we talk about. Keep this in mind. Your primary loyalty, regardless of how you show up around this table, is to the members and beneficiaries of this system. You may wear different hats somewhere else. This is not Congress. You're not here to bring the pork back to your constituencies. You don't have constituencies. Everybody got here a different way. Treasurer's ex officio. You got no choice. You got to sit on this board. Supervisor who just left the room gets on. One supervisor can sit on the board. Doesn't have to. A lot of systems don't have a supervisor sitting on the board. Retirees elect someone. active members elect people. When you walk in here, you got to get rid of those hats. I know you hear me say this all the time. You're sick of hearing this sort of thing. You know all this. But then when you start acting on certain things, there's a tendency to fall back into, what would my people want me to do in the situation? Primary loyalty is not to your individual constituencies or how you got on here. It's to the system, the health of the system for all members and beneficiaries. Exclusive benefit rule is simply, these assets are here to pay what somebody else promised in benefits. You didn't make the promise. You didn't set the policy. You didn't negotiate the MOUs. But the money has to be used for that purpose. The prudent expert rule. Remember the Constitution and the 37 Act talk about exercising your prudent judgment under the circumstances then prevailing that a prudent person with knowledge would exercise. So your responsibility, your fiduciary responsibility, is literally to be a prudent expert, not just somebody who happens to have good intentions, but you need to educate yourself and make prudent judgments, especially in the investment arena, if not otherwise. And one that we just sort of forget, but every once in a while comes up in Bell or CalPERS or something, just obey the law. There are a lot of other laws besides these three fiduciary duties. You have a fiduciary responsibility to the members and beneficiaries to obey the law. That is very hard. Fortunately, most of you, I guess Rusty and Karen, don't have to run for political office. All the rules and responsibilities and campaign rules and that sort of thing, it's a daunting task to jump through all those hurdles. But obeying the law is a key.
But Harvey, the prudent, is that defined? Because that term prudent, you know, prudent man rule and all that, for it, that's been around a long time, and most time I've heard it is used in regards to investments.
Right.
But what is considered prudent? As kind of an example, does, like, the first day you're here at the board, is it prudent to vote on things? Maybe just investment things, but I mean, is it prudent your very first day? You know, and maybe you're a real estate agent in your real life, okay? But is it prudent? Is that what prudent means, or is that like, what the hey, you know? That's where I'm kind of thinking.
That's a great question, and there's no answer.
Okay.
There's no answer.
That wouldn't
be
imprudent.
The reason why there's no answer is that, and the one, you know, we're gonna, I'm glad you keep that up, Richard, because the responsibility is imposed on you the first day you show up here.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be ready to hit the ground running. If you're not ready to make a judgment, you need to recuse yourself. It's a judgment call. And it's a personal judgment call. A lot of these things we're going to be talking about, when you have a conflict of interest, when to disclose that you have an interest, when you should recuse yourself, when there's something, even if you don't have a financial interest in some decision the board's going to make, you don't own shares of Lord Abbott, for example, or your brother isn't a manager of GSAM. There may be times when your judgment is clouded by other interests that you have, and that in good conscience you ought to say, you know what, I can't be impartial in this situation. I can't exercise prudence. I don't want to take myself out of it. On the other hand, your responsibility is to be a board member and participate as often as you can. So this is give and take. And there is no written standard for every situation to decide, you know, black and white, this is prudent, this is not prudent. Judgment call. And most of the time, you don't get the answer to it until you've been sued or somebody calls it into question. And then it's through the rearview mirror, we look back and we say, was it prudent for Richard to do what he did when he did what he did? And we don't get to know that until after the fact when somebody questions it. So I want to set a few scenarios here. I have to read this past me. I'm going to pick on Scott. Scott, in this scenario, you are a new trustee. And you say to the chair, this kind of, Richard kind of keyed into this, you're a new trustee, you ask the chair to let you oversee the CIO. Because, what the heck, you handle your mother's IRA, you know all about investing. So you should be put in charge of this, right? And Brian, the chair, says, gee, this is a great idea. We're going to let you, I don't have to do this anymore, we're going to let you handle this, Scott, because we can skip all these, you know, boring investment manager presentations. Too bad there aren't any investment managers in the room. So what do you think about that, Scott? Is that, anybody have any issues with this?
Yeah.
What's your problem, Karen?
I don't believe that board members should be, they do not manage staff. Board members give direction and set policy. That's Marilyn's job.
So you don't like the idea of picking one of you to handle the investment portfolio and oversee staff?
No, it's not appropriate.
Now, you know, it is appropriate to delegate, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. No, you delegate to the executive. You don't go to individual staff.
About if Scott said, well, how about Karen and I form a committee of the board and we'll take care of all the investments? Is that a fair delegation?
You know what, let's put it this way. For this board, no, because this agency association has a huge, I don't know if it's okay for some little podunk thing, but for this one, it's not. Because no offense to any, the only person I could look at here would be Rusty with his business background, excluding staff, maybe John. But we're not, I don't care if you oversee your mother's IRA. I don't care if you oversee, even if in your business you oversee it. That's not a board member's job. Board members are to set policy.
Richard, would it be prudent to, let's say Scott was actually
this wouldn't work.
Manager.
This wouldn't work because the rest of the board wouldn't give an individual board member the authority, is the way I look at it. However, I could see the chair saying, no, I'll just do it. Okay? Take it upon themselves.
We've had chairs who were in the business.
We've had chairs that thought they could do it. I don't think we've ever had anybody in the business.
Would this be prudent for you to delegate to the chair this responsibility?
As a board.
As a board.
And if the chair never brings it up, it never gets delegated.
Well, the problem I'm having with it, I mean, there's so many.
It's your mother.
This one is you brought my mother into this. it strikes me that it's a. The protection of the corpus, the trust that we are trustees for, is really the business of the board. It's not really Brian's decision to anoint me because of my mother's IRA performance to now manage him. I think it's a board decision, right? It's a collective decision about what the best interests of the system are, or is.
Well, that's right. I mean, you're all put on here to exercise some collective judgment. As opposed to just individual judgment on these things, John?
Harvey, we operate as a investment committee of the full board.
Right.
It would certainly be appropriate, I'm among several where there is a separate subcommittee that would be that have the detail of investments. They would deal with lots of the presentations and that kind of thing. Normally, however, final decisions are still made by the board as presented by the subcommittee who did the detail work analysis, background, et cetera.
All right. You know, there are some systems that do have committees of the board.
I would assume so.
Let's see what kind of trouble we can get.
Used to have that.
I just have one observation. To me, there's a difference between delegation and abdication. And if you're abdicating the responsibility that you have looking at this board as making investment decisions in the whole, then you're not delegating, you're abdicating.
That's a good point. So you want to sit through those boring manager presentations. Well, Scott, let's see what happens. You know, the chair then thinks, hey, you know, my wife's a smart person. She works for Ameritrade. Maybe she can help, too. I'll bring her into our closed sessions, and, she can give us some advice on this. And plus, she could use the money.
Everybody okay with that?
Wow, these are fun questions.
Rusty doesn't.
What scares me is he's probably had clients who did this.
Rusty.
Now he's brought your wife into it, too.
There actually was a superintendent of education who did this.
Yes.
You may remember our former superintendent of education about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, these are torn from the pages of history, folks. But anyway, you got a problem with paying Brian's wife to come in and help with this thing? Karen doesn't like this idea.
Well, because it is a violation because he's making a decision that benefits him either positively or negatively on a financial interest. I always love it if it benefits you or if it negatively impacts you, but you're not supposed to make decisions. I mean, there's just so much wrong with that. First of all, she's not on this board, and she hasn't been hired, so...
You don't like that idea?
No.
Okay. Rusty, you had something about...
Well, would she be even allowed into the closed session?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? Wouldn't she be in, like, an investment consultant?
Uh-huh.
Well, she's not hired yet.
No.
First of all, we don't go into closed sessions when we hire managers. We do it in public session. And we certainly have people in the room and without knowing their details. And we let them, various chairs have let them make comments in the hiring process. And so this is just take out the closed sessions, just say that my wife is involved in the business, and I think it's happened. So, I mean, I think how you phrase it, but we certainly have, and we certainly have taken opinions from people who are not board members sitting in this room when we've done hiring. They have questions.
Is that prudent, Richard?
It's what we've done.
Well, I know, but, we're
among
friends
here. She would be able to
here.
Speak under public comment.
You think this is where you want to take your information as a prudent investor from anybody who happens to walk into a public session and gives you some advice?
Moi, no, but we're all independent here.
Let's see where this goes now.
Well, it's heading for Government Code 1090, but...
Well, that's right, and the 1090 is your conflict of interest law and contracts, but here the new trustee, Scott, ends up at the Oakland airport and out to vacation and run into a client relations manager for a global tactical asset fund. He sits with this person on the plane, has a couple of beers, and Scott confesses at one point, I don't really understand what this derivative stuff is. And the client relations manager of this fund gives you some information, and you're very grateful for that. Jerry?
Okay, I'll speak up on this.
This is where
I'll give you
education should
this, yeah. No, I think so. In some instances, I'll give you a personal example. I went to a CNI&I conference, and there was a dinner, and I sat down with a... I sat down with a firm's client representative person, and I was a new trustee, and I knew nothing of bonds. I didn't know anything about bonds, and so I asked him, "Can you educate me on bonds?" And he said, "Sure, Jerry. I'll sit and talk." So he sat and he talked with me at the dinner and educated me about bonds, and then he mailed me a thing on bonds. And I got a bit of an education on bonds through all that. And we're not invested with him. We have never been RFP'd. They have never come RFP'd with us. And so
probably
I felt okay. I felt
business,
so
right?
I felt it was okay to do that, and I did that. I think that kind of fits with what you're asking there, and I see that as being okay.
I can't tell if the Global Tactical Asset Fund, if we have investments in that.
Would it matter to you? If
that
they were
might
a
have.
Current money manager
if
for
were,
you or not?
I'd be very careful as I move through the conversation. If they tried to start selling their product, but like in Jerry's situation, if it's just a broad, first of all, I would never admit that I don't know something about that to such a person, but if they started educating me on a broad level, I don't see a problem. If they started doing a personal seller, you know, we'd like to get in with you, and we haven't had a chance. Can you make an appointment? I'd just say, you need to call and make your own appointment. But other than that, I don't see a problem.
Deborah, can you make the distinction between when someone's selling you something or trying to educate you? You go to SACRS and some of these other conferences.
No, because
when do you know?
You don't know because it usually is a long line of favors before the sales pitch comes in the end. It's a familiarity.
So are you okay with Jerry's example of the first couple in that line of favors before they get to the sales pitch?
I don't know. I guess I am because I feel like it wouldn't influence my decision in terms of because I sort of would. I'm an impartial person that way. But
Gabe, are you comfortable with all your colleagues getting education on airplanes and things like that from people who just happen to show up?
I'm comfortable with me. I can test anything.
Are you suggesting they showed up as a conspiracy?
I wouldn't think such a thing. Well, okay, so now
Rusty had a question.
Well, I'm just trying to tie this together with the previous slides.
Uh-huh.
Whether or not we're in the blackout stage, if we should be talking to the fund managers, that would
That's
be an issue.
That's
and then, of course, who picks up the tab on the beers and how expensive
Well, yeah, I wondered that, too.
we didn't ask who paid for the beers, did we?
No, you didn't mention it, so.
Richard.
As a casual conversation, I don't have a problem with it, and then all those other policies would be involved. But if you really, the trouble I have with it is one board member getting information from one source not shared with the others.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The point of it is, maybe you wouldn't say, but I've certainly told people I don't understand what you're talking about.
Well, that's different.
But I would really, if I thought it was helpful, then my feeling would be, let's have him make a presentation to the whole board. And it would also, I think, in a sense, cover me if I had participated in such a thing and I came back here and said, you know, I heard this wonderful thing about derivatives. You know, I think we'd all learn. And if the board said, no, we're not interested, I think I've covered myself in the whole thing by asking. But the point was, I do have a problem with me or any board member getting some information, and then possibly they don't share it, but it's what drives their decision.
Would it make any difference whether this was a professor of economics at the Wharton School
right.
or someone who's running money, who may be a potential?
Not for me to for the share thing.
Okay,
I think it would be safer with a professor from a school rather than a bond manager, but.
Your radar would go up once you know that they're running money for pension funds.
Yeah, but I think if they're not selling you anything,
right.
he's giving you information. He's educating you.
Open a book.
Let's see what
could be like the stupidest book in the world on how to manage
money. Oh, sure.
We've been talking about Scott.
Yeah, you still have questions.
I
didn't
read
that book.
If you depended on that,
oh yeah,
you're not a very good person.
Yeah, but you still have questions on certain things.
So let's see what happens. During the flight, our asset manager
somewhere.
Says they have a new investment opportunity, Bolivian currency hedging. And she asks you to get them in front of the board as quickly as possible since a window of opportunity is closing and you don't want to lose out. And Scott says, oh, my God, this is great news because you heard that our funding
you fly a lot.
In the tank. And you're supposed to be looking for something called alpha. Right? Is this alpha? Anybody got any problems with Scott?
Why don't you open your career writing fiction?
What's that?
You're going to start a new career writing fiction?
So is this...
I want to keep reading ahead and see how this
fiction,
ends.
Karen.
Is this after Brian has anointed me over Tim now? So I'm now the investment guy?
Well, let's see where you go with this. You haven't been anointed yet.
Okay.
Brian hasn't yet. Deborah's got
You're just a trustee on a board.
So this is not fiction. This happens all the time.
Exactly.
At Zucker's conferences and other types of things.
Called Tim.
Where there are multiple money managers at a conference, not just Zucker's. But my answer to this, anytime something like this comes out, as soon as they say, I have a new investment, my automatic answer is, you have something that you think our board would be interested in, you'll need to speak to our CIO, Tim Price, right, or to Bob Helson, or soon to be others at Milliman. And they will take a look at your investment opportunity and decide whether it's something our, they would want to present to our board.
Right.
Anytime someone says, well done, she read that off the card very well.
They say a lot.
Anytime you've got a man, and we've had this, remember, especially when the market went to hell in 2008 and 2009, we have it. We're putting together a distress fund. We got to move now. Anytime a manager comes to you and says, "Time is, you know, we got to move now. You got to get us going because you don't want to be the last one left out of this fund."
Harvey, you never said that when it happened.
Something should go off. You know what I did?
Actually, Adam Street came in here and said that very same thing. You know, I didn't hear you say anything. But Harvey, on this, that's, I don't think. There's nothing that's wrong that's happened here.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Someone's come to you. I have a new opportunity.
So
I'd like to get it before the board. The answer's right. Kick it to them. But just the very fact that it happened, that does happen all the time.
Time, yeah.
So everybody agrees so far nothing untoward has happened here. You're still...
The second paragraph is the one...
I'm not sure if we're talking at a school. I mean, if our funding ratio is public knowledge, it's one thing. But if I'm maybe given insider baseball...
That's public knowledge.
Okay, it's public knowledge.
Funding ratio's in the tank.
Hey.
Okay, so let's see what Scott does with this. So you agree to ask the CEO to put the item on the next agenda and just tell Brian, let's skip this cumbersome RFP process. Because time is of the essence here.
Never make it through board meeting.
Window of opportunity is closing.
Window of opportunity is closing.
Board meeting with you here.
Jerry's not happy with this yet.
No.
So far, it's still talk, right,
Jerry?
Yeah.
Hairs are raising on the back.
So far, Richard thinks nothing's really happened.
The question
yet.
Here is there a harm in the ask? Is there harm in the asking? Right. Because all I've done, I agreed to ask. Right.
Okay.
So the old saw is there a harm in the ask?
Well, the first phrase is fine. The second phrase is wrong.
You don't like that.
Well, but I agree.
I don't like the first phrase. I wouldn't
like the first
do the first
recommend that, right? The question is okay. You know.
We've done that.
Well, according to Scott, we're not a little bit pregnant yet.
Degrees. This is all degrees.
Let's see if we can give birth to this thing here. Let's see here. So now, a week before the meeting, you give her a call, this manager, and you say, listen, why don't I get three other trustees? We'll come to lunch. And they can ask you questions about this. That way we don't have to look stupid when the public session, you know, we don't have to embarrass ourselves in public. But there might be some questions that, you know, I didn't understand this Bolivian currency thing. How about you? So anybody got a problem with Scott getting three other trustees together to go to lunch with his manager?
Yeah, I've thoughtfully considered the Brown Act, obviously.
You only got three.
Richard, we're still skating on the, you know, we're still running inside the chalk lines here.
Oh, we're doing this, yeah, but yeah, you know, it's not, there's, as Karen said, there's four board members and no different than a serial telephone calls, meetings type of thing.
Jerry,
and there's where it is too.
Even though it doesn't violate the Brown Act.
Embarrassing questions in the public.
You like this?
I hate it.
It doesn't violate the Brown Act.
It doesn't matter. It violates my prudent approach.
Well, it's the appearance of impropriety.
Because it's exactly right. The appearance of impropriety is worse than the impropriety itself.
Yeah, the law, pardon me, Jerry, says you can do it, doesn't mean you should do it.
What's imprudent about this? People are getting educated at lunch. I didn't say she paid for the lunch.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
No.
What's the appearance problem you got with this?
Because it doesn't end up being a group decision. It doesn't end up being something that is presented in fairness and logically in the same manner to all board members.
Don't you think that this is, you know, helpful to the exchange of information? Because you know how it is. You sit here, somebody comes in, and they make a presentation with all this mumbly-jumbly about the markets and that sort of thing, and you sit here, and you got people sitting back here, and you don't ask a question, because you don't want to look dumb.
That's never bothered me before.
Maybe somebody else is not asking a question. This way they can get their questions answered. What's wrong with it?
I can just tell you that based upon my now 5 years' experience and all the stuff I've gone through, my hair went up on the back of my neck, what's left of it. long time before. The minute the person said they ran money with somebody, that was probably the...
Richard says we're still within the chalk line.
Doesn't matter. I'm asking him or her how their family is, what, does it, you know, that
you
kind
know
of stuff.
Does it make a difference to those few
because
people?
Because I can, if I'm the one putting the meeting together, I can pick the three other trustees who I see as maybe having the ability to sway other members on the board. So even though it doesn't violate the Brown Act, I've made a decision who those other three people should be, knowing that if the four of us, in once we get to close, you know, whether others know about, they can still ask any question they want, we might have an ability to sway somebody else. And that's where the gut says no.
Don't we call that smart politics?
Yeah,
that's what gives politics a bad name, folks. You know?
Does it matter if there was only one other trustee? Does that influence, let's say, a week before the meeting, you call her and suggest her that you and another trustee, just two of you, or maybe even just one other trustee, but not yourself, meet with her?
What's the motive behind having the lunch? Is it so that they don't ask stupid questions in public?
You need to ask people who've done that.
No, I understand that, Richard, but you've asked an excellent point. What if it's only another trustee, two people can't really, but I'm wondering, what would my motivation be, you know, that I couldn't get that information in public? It just doesn't pass the smell test.
All right, so you're more comfortable everybody gets the same information at the same time.
You know what, I'm not going to have a problem, and I can see from my colleagues here, we're all pretty independent-minded, but, you know, if I had to answer, I'd say, like Jerry, this is it's within the chalk lines, but I wouldn't do it. Sure. And I don't think any of the rest of my colleagues would.
My sense at this point is that the trustee that's organizing all this has put him or herself in the role of being an advocate. And potentially a compensated advocate in some form for this investment. At some point, your actions tend to cross over the line, at least in appearance. And that's where I've really gotten uncomfortable on this.
Yeah, that let's see if we can get you even closer to the chalk line. So now you're at lunch with four of you, and she says that if Cesera invests $200 million in this LLC that she's running, they'll funnel that money into a publicly traded fund that hedges Bolivian currency. We okay with this under our investment policy?
I would say, you know, that's, we came here to ask questions. I'm not here to... What you're at, I get that everybody would have not gone to the lunch, but if the four people are sitting there, I would... And I was one of them, I would say, you know, I wanted to come to get information, mm-hmm. but I don't want, you're now soliciting me, as opposed to providing information in a general broad term.
Okay.
But in a public meeting, that would be a very good, an expectation, I would think, is they would tell us what they're going to do with our money. In other words, in a public meeting, so not with this group here, but as an individual, that you finding out what they're going to do with your money, I don't think would be wrong. And it certainly is, I think, a valid question in the public meeting you're going to hire. What are you going to do with the money we're going to give you?
Of course, but we're not in a public meeting.
Right, but we're gearing up for it. That's how I'm looking at this.
But I think she's dictating how much you're going to invest with her, too.
She crossed
the
line.
By telling you invest $200 million, we'll do this for you. I mean, what if you invested only $100 million? What's you going to do?
This gets uncomfortable for me. This statement here gets uncomfortable.
Ooh, Kaepernick is just about to go out of bounds.
But I
thought she was pitching a Bolivian currency hedge fund. Isn't she saying she's going to put the money in what she said she was going to do?
Who do you care where she's putting the money? It's Alpha, Scott.
Scott still doesn't know what Alpha is.
Yeah.
She also takes Scott aside and says, Scott, listen,
uh-oh,
you make this happen, and I am going to make a $5,000 contribution to the chair of the Board of Supervisors reelection campaign in your name.
Yeah.
And that makes you
can't accept
goodbye.
Our limits are $16.75.
She's got a pack,
Karen. You got a deal.
Yeah, she's got a pack.
Just pack.
You know,
oh, okay.
No problem, yeah. But it's going to be done in honor of Scott. Anybody got a problem with that? Saves you the $5,000.
Board Scott. Member's favorite charity. Right?
Even if it's a charity.
Scott has a problem with that.
That's Scott's problem.
This is pay to play here. I mean, this is
yeah.
This
that is
getting
why?
close, much closer to pay.
Quid pro quo.
Because at this point, you've involved a board member getting some form of remuneration for.
She didn't say she's giving you the money.
No, but she's doing it for.
But that's, this is.
To give me credit for it, so it's tantamount to that. To me, it's one and the same.
You can't, you can take credit to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee with it?
Oh, no, no. This one, you go talk to the district attorney.
Is this about, oh, you think that, now we're really over.
Either now or later. No, you go talk when you.
This is Clay Matthews.
I go talk to Karen and say, Karen, guess what just happened at lunch?
All right, this you don't like, this part here you don't like. Let's see if you like anything else I'm going to put up here. Now, one of the trustees, very smart trustee, this is Gabe. Gabe's at lunch, and Gabe says, you're not a placement agent, are you? God, yeah, I've heard about placement agents, right, like that. And, oh, and she says, no, I work on commission. I work in-house on fund manager. So, no, I'm not a placement agent. And so Gabe says, that's great. You know, now I've checked that off the box. I'm good, right? Brian's got a problem with that?
That is a placement.
With her saying? Her answer?
Her answer. That's
or the question. Well, I think the question is appropriate.
Yeah, it's a good question.
And
prudent.
You know, what her answer is, whether it's truthful or not, that's to be determined. But, I mean, I.
Well, if she works on.
What's the difference?
House for the fund manager?
It's a placement.
Yes.
This is like that definition of prudent. It's in each person's mind.
You know what? No, it ain't. This one's in the law. She's a placement agent.
She's a placement agent.
The law says it doesn't matter whether you're in-house or out-house, you're a placement agent if you're working on commission based on placing money.
Yeah.
Okay? So we'll go back over the rules sometime on placement agents so everybody knows who you're talking to and what the violations are and whether they're registered lobbyists and that sort of thing. That goes beyond what we're going to talk about today. But you need to know who these folks are when they're approaching you.
Harvey, if it's salary, they're not a placement agent. They're purely.
They have to be on a fixed salary.
And they can't receive a bonus at the end of the year, kind of thing?
Based on productivity, no.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
What can they receive a bonus for, if not productivity?
Well, they can, but they just. Then they're a placement agent, is all. And I don't know that much about those businesses, but I bet they work on bonuses.
Okay, you're just talking about registered, but they would not.
What if their annual raise could be based on it?
What's that?
With the not a bonus, but an annual raise could be incentivized by that?
No, cannot be.
Yeah.
They become a lobbyist. Okay. Next board agenda gets posted. And the CIO says, "You, what the hell, Scott, is this crazy Bolivian currency thing?" He said, "Don't worry about that, Tim. I've done all the due diligence. Just stay out of it. This one's mine."
Hey, Scott, now you're in big trouble.
No. Is everybody okay with that?
Are you all right with that, Scott?
No, that's good.
What I'm not okay with is a CIO
can you do
not
that,
telling
Scott?
Us
this. This one's got problems on a lot of levels. yeah, this is...
You've done your due diligence.
Well, have I really? Of course. I don't think I have. You know, all I've done is take a pitch from somebody who's going to make money on the transaction, telling me it's a good idea. A
couple of beers and $5,000 to your
favorite
charity. With
my fellow board members to try to round up the votes, so we only need to find one.
Richard doesn't think that's prudent.
And I think they would just word it differently, like... It's not like they've done all the due diligence, but I've done the preliminary.
Yeah,
let me bring this to you people.
This is so hypothetical. This would never happen. You would never have a board member coming to the CIO saying, I really want to see if this go through. Would we?
Are we talking about in the last 30 days?
I agree. That's why you hire a CIO. We used to have a board member years ago that used to come in and pass out stuff. And, well, he did his own research, and that's been when Hellison was
having a heart
consultant, and yeah, and it was like, it's like, why are we sitting here listening to him? My opinion was wasting my time.
Yeah.
We pay this man good money to do that job, you know. I think the CIO, that's what we pay him for. To do all that stuff, and to make our recommendations, to give us the recommendations.
But think of this scenario. You got this board member doing this. You got the chair who's let it happen, because when the next board...
You have to go back to like slide three on this.
You already got two board members. God knows those other three that got together for lunch.
Uh-huh.
This puppy could be a 5-0 right out of the chute, man. It's just, or 5-4, you know, whatever.
That's how you got to go back.
Well, let's take a look and see what actually happens here. The day before the committee meeting, Scott calls his broker that's got his 401k account and says, I want you to put all the money in Bolivian. It's publicly traded.
I thought he was picking up, selecting it. He's picking
up. Bolivian fund, because I just have a sense this thing...
Feels sorry for Scott's mom.
I was going to say, it didn't go into mom's IRA.
Went into mom's IRA. John, is this okay?
No. One of our requirements here is that I'm basically going right to this, is that you shouldn't put yourself in a position where something you're involved in that for the benefit of the trust, you also take advantage of in too direct a way.
Well, let me check on that a little bit with you, John. You've been on the board 3 years now.
Pretty close.
Sat through a lot of investment manager presentations. Learned a lot about the market, right?
Certainly, it's been educational.
Don't use any of that in your own personal affairs? In education?
No, haven't directly.
Nobody here takes anything from these meetings? And
I don't have enough money to.
Yeah, that's
why you, you're asking me that. I get the money.
No, because people...
I'm just saying.
Board members... You don't look at like our asset allocation mix and think about your own personal at all?
Sure you do.
I don't. Only because I'm
Jerry. That's what I think, too.
I want to know where you draw the line between education and opportunity.
Well, here's the situation as you've led up to this.
Okay.
The $200 million going into a particular fund is not public knowledge yet. If this is the day before the committee meeting, you're the only, or Scott's the only one who knows about this, that information. So
this is a practice called front running.
Right.
Or insider trades.
Insider trading is how I...
Which the Congress members used to get to do, but now they don't, thank goodness. That was...
You've also put yourself in a position where now you have a personal interest, a financial interest in the board going forward in its $200 million investment that is going obviously to benefit you, because you now own the assets in your 401k plan now has those assets.
Suppose that we change the time a little bit on this, and suppose the board votes first publicly, you go into this fund. Can you then call your broker and say, I think this is an opportunity?
I would assume so. Anyone sitting in the room could hear that.
Richard doesn't like this at all.
No, totally. You're enriching yourself off of information from that's board duties.
But the rest of the...
Everyone else got
it. It's become public knowledge.
Yeah. Let me... You know exactly how much public knowledge is retained when you look at minutes. We had a conversation today on those motions. The public record doesn't show what the actual recommendations were, just how we voted on them.
No, but if somebody else is sitting in this room, they can take
advantage during the presentation.
They're not gonna have this. But Harvey, I say about that. Besides the plane trip and this, these are private. The other items are semi-public because there are other people involved. Mm-hmm. How would the board ever know this?
See,
ever.
And can I answer?
Now we've moved into
something. I'm on another board that they go overboard, no pun intended, that we have to disclose at every meeting who we've met. This is the Central Solid Waste Authority. And we have a lot of garbage interests in this county. And you run into them at a variety of different social events, just, hi, how are you? They want us to disclose that at the end of or the beginning of every board meeting, any contact you've had with anybody who does business with that board.
So now we're getting into a word we haven't heard yet. Aaron, we're talking about. Do the rest of you want to know what Scott's been up to? When is Scott going to disclose this to you? Should he disclose it to you? This whole history slides one through 13 so far.
To me,
when are you going to learn?
I would have disclosed the very first contact. I guess it's less important if the, I can't remember the name of the firm now, but if the firm wasn't one of our firms, and it was just somebody I bumped into on a flight and I heard about it, I may or may not think it's worthy of disclosure, but if it's a firm we do business with, even if I had a, you know, social contact talking about the long and short of derivatives, I mean, I think the appropriate thing to do is what Jerry talked about, is coming back and disclosing it.
It disclose it here to the board?
Exactly. I'd make a disclosure. Hey, okay. I had a contact with so-and-so, and this is what transpired.
You know, we do this. You're supposed to disclose things. Mm-hmm. If there's money involved, that's the Form 700. But you disclose that once a year,
right,
well after the thing's gone. So are you suggesting that a board member come in and disclose, and I'm not actually opposing that, that, hey, I did have lunch, even though it was less than the amount, and talk to him?
Sure.
There have been board members.
Okay, I love all these positive statements because I ain't never seen it happen.
We have done that.
In the minutes, I can show where you said.
I've certainly sat in meetings and heard people disclose that they've had lunches with some individuals.
I've said that. At least four times a year, I say that. Who I've gone to lunch with.
We have a policy that we're supposed to do that.
Yes.
Supposed to do that.
So I would. That's good. To me, that's I'm glad back to hear to slide that one. That's already been.
We have a policy that you're not supposed to have lunch with them. Not that you disclose you have lunch with them.
I want you to think about this. We're not going to resolve this issue, but let me just get you to think about this over the next couple of days about where you would draw the line here. For example, suppose the board went ahead and voted to go into this, and P&I picked it up. A couple of days later, P&I, front page, Contra Costa Retirement System puts $200 million with Bolivian hedge fund. Is it okay for you at that point to call your personal broker? Where along this line? Before it's done? When it's done by the board? When it's reported in the newspaper? Where along this line is it okay for you to take what you learned or what you experienced as trustees around the board table and use it to any advantage, good, bad, or educational, whatever, in your own personal affairs?
I think after the board takes action, because I understand where Richard's going. We don't have a lot of public here, but at least it is. We're recording. If some individual out there, I want to know what Cicero's doing in investing, because I want to listen, because when I want to make some investment decisions on my own, it's available. So it would be after the board takes action.
Anytime
before, I don't know if it is strict insider trading, but you would have knowledge that the public didn't have, and you could benefit from it prior to a decision being made. And maybe having that prior knowledge and making that investment, you would have more of an impetus to sway the board to take that, because you would be enriched. Whereas afterwards, everybody can make money the same way.
No, I think never.
Let's revisit this. Let's not try to resolve this here, but let's revisit this at some point in investment discussion. Yeah.
But Harvey, I don't think it ever, Karen, I would just disagree. I think the rule is we are not to enrich ourselves over the board, board information. So I don't think it becomes public. When it becomes public, it's okay. The point is you don't use your authority, power, knowledge here to make your life better. It's for the soul.
And I can agree with you, Richard, but what if somebody does? I'm not sure it's illegal or unethical. Then they disclose it on their Form 700, and, you know, Dan Bornstein reads that and says, hey, you invested in ABC company, and I see on, you know, October 1st, and I see on September 1st your board took an action. At least it's disclosed. Everybody else could. He'll make hay out of it. The public can get upset or not. What would this board do?
I'm not implying that in the example it would be illegal, but I'm talking about what's my fiduciary responsibility, and I think that's where we talk about the appearance of stuff and
I think to be pure.
You think it's contrary to serving the members?
And I don't disagree with you, but I'm with Jerry. I would never.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
no,
what,
we don't have the money, Karen.
The whole example here really is what I would. I mean, if you look at all the slides in a continuum, I think the real lesson in it, at least for me, is more of a general lesson, which is never put yourself in a position where you get in harm's way to begin with. Because harm's way started way back when, in the chance meeting on the flight or whatever, and there has to be, you have to have the voice that tells you, swamp, just hit swamp, right? Just stepped in, felt the boggy bottom is that way. Because what happens is, in this series of examples to me is, you ended up creating the opportunity you now benefit from. So query whether you were ever doing it for the benefit of the members, which is Richard's point. You got into this discussion, got heard about the Bolivian hedge fund, started working the votes, getting a Brown Act compliant meeting together so that you could then seize an opportunity which you ultimately personally gained from, right? You did in your 401k. You got there because the very first part of it got you eased in the opportunity, I think, which was your point, Deborah, earlier about sometimes you don't know where that line is because
slippery slope.
It is. It's a slippery slope. So I guess the easy answer is never have the lunch, never have the meeting, you know, just avoid all contact. That's probably not practical. So you have to have a meter that tells you when you've gotten into the red zone or you're into the swamp. You have to, but that's what this training is about. It's supposed to be educating, I think, to know that you're heading into some territory that's
in. But if your only benefit is to the fund, then you don't need the meter. See, you need the meter when I might go into my own thing.
Well, no,
okay, that's.
But this is the continuum of the slides. This isolated question is really a tough one because, I mean, if you're sitting here and you have public information, and forget us for the moment. What about somebody in the audience who's sitting here and listening to some real estate presentation or whatever we've heard in the last few weeks? They can't go out and buy it?
No, but that's they true. Didn't participate in all the, like you said, all these other slides. You know, they didn't know how nice the woman was as an investment manager with stuff. You're not the public. We are not the public. We are not. We always have information from casual conversations, from CIOs talking to us and all that. We're never going to be the public. We can't, like, put the public hat on and sit back. We've learned stuff. We are insiders.
But at some point you have to discern between what's publicly available information that we read here or anywhere
right.
else, right? We're all reading these materials.
I'm not referring to. I'm talking about when we're involved.
All right. Well, what I'm going to do in a couple minutes left is take us down the end of the slippery slope into the splash pool.
Okay.
So let's just follow along.
I've got an ethics question I want to present to the board though at the end.
Okay, we got it. So one of the trustees who came to lunch explains to a couple other trustees before the meeting what it's all about.
We all. That's a serial meeting.
Well, who's supposed to know that?
The trustee is supposed to know that.
Oh, the one who's talking.
Yeah.
Well, what about the other two? How are they supposed to know?
They
it's a
are,
serial
but
meeting?
The trustee who is doing it does. He or she has now violated the Brown Act. And because they've already had the training, they should not have done it.
They shouldn't have done that. Okay, everybody understand what
Let's
serial
see how
meetings
they
are?
Yes.
Okay, Karen or
not everybody.
The trustee doesn't tell the others that he went to lunch.
So here comes this disclosure problem again.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't you all like to know, as board members, what your colleagues are doing and have done? Don't they owe that? Isn't that part of the fiduciary responsibility of making collective judgments, that you know what each one of you are doing with money managers or anybody else?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, if we're going to be making
point
some investments.
We should be asking at every meeting, I think.
Well, okay.
Who's gone to lunch with whom? Who's been doing
We're going to be, in this month, we're going to be making some decisions about a fund, small, mid, or the mid-mid, or whatever. That's why we're having some extra meetings. So between now and then, somebody goes to lunch with one of those people, my expectation is that they would come and say, as part of the discussion, by the way, I have lunch.
They're not supposed to. They're not supposed to in the first place.
Quiet period, too.
Oh, the quiet period. I'm so sorry. Did not, okay.
Before the quiet period. No, Karen's hit on a good thing.
You're on the right
People
track.
Don't, we don't have a policy that says you should, hey, these are very good friends of mine, or I've known them for years. We don't have any formal policy. I do think we've heard it here at the table. People refer to that. But that's very true. I mean, you're going to, or have some association. I've never heard a board member said, oh, you know, that same fund, different whole division, I run my 401k with them, or I have the investments. I mean, how many people are with PIMCO in the fund, okay? Yeah, I never heard anybody disclose that.
I never heard PIMCO before it came on the board. So
well, the deferred comp, if you have deferred comp on the in the county, the total return fund, which is what we do, is one of your choices. Well, your choice. And all so right. I never heard anybody disclose that.
The only well, one I ever heard is
Well, they have
Teresa
to have on
Walmart.
Their form already, Richard. So
well, you don't disclose
you
your 401 on the form.
You disclose if you own shares of Bank of America. Or own shares of Goldman Sachs.
You disclose that, but not for your 401. Oh. You have right. disclosed holdings, stock holdings, right. great, but not a 401.
No, no mutual funds.
No mutual funds. But, no but mutual if you funds. Have individual, you have to.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm talking about the 401.
401, yeah.
All right. So let's see what happens here. One of the trustees is the county treasurer.
Uh-huh.
And she Rusty's says.
Rusty's finally in it.
Sorry, Rusty. She says. Listen, I'll vote for this, but you've got to agree not to drop the assumed rate of return down to 7% because it'll kill our county budget.
This is on tape?
No, this is outside the board meeting.
This is something Bill would have done, but anyway, all right.
That's called wheeling and dealing.
Oh.
It's called quid pro quo.
Again, this is when you go talk to the district attorney. This is not good government.
Go on, right?
I would hope not.
There'd never be any conversations like this.
I would hope well, not.
If it's not Orange County, then that's probably okay.
San Diego.
Yeah.
And San Diego. I'm sorry, San Diego.
All right.
God, I'd hope not.
Anybody see a problem with the county treasurer here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because they're referring to their budget, which has nothing to do with this fund.
There you go.
Right? I mean...
Yeah. Yeah, this is
primary
divided,
loyalty.
This is the divided loyalty, primary loyalty problem.
Yeah. Treasurer's got a hat problem here.
Yeah.
Doesn't know which one she's supposed to be wearing. Board meeting. We got 8 voting members present. You make a motion, Scott, to approve the investment. Some trustee objects that the RFP process was not followed. You scream at her.
Oh, him.
Are you crazy?
I know who that trustee is.
Alpha. You call for the question.
Well, I violated the board civility policy. That's
that don't matter around here either.
Scott found the civility policy and the rules of conduct.
You're supposed to read the rules of conduct, right? I mean, yeah, this is not the proper decorum. This is not how you interact with fellow board members. It's bullying. It's a lot of things.
Scott disclosed anything about the history of how this came about?
No,
any board member, you're all in the dark. All right. Board deadlocks at 4-4. Now what?
It's locked. You're panicked. Loses.
Scott calls his broker
Scott's
and reverses the trade.
He called his broker the day before.
Yeah,
okay. So he goes to the CIO and he orders her sign the contract with the fund manager.
What?
It'll be a breach of her duty if this opportunity passes, because don't you have a duty to improve the investment returns? Don't you each have a duty to improve the investment returns of this fund?
Right.
Now,
so I'm gonna
CIO is happy because I've now been ordered. The CIO says I'm protected because the trustee instructed me to do this.
That's the John Dean defense. But
plus, I also have been trying to rebalance the portfolio anyway, and this is a great opportunity to do this. Jerry, you got a problem with it?
Yeah. I don't believe the CIO has the authority to do that, even if a trustee instructs her. I think it needs a board vote. And I mean, it goes all the way back to objecting at the board meeting to not having an RFP. I mean, it's all wrong. So
good luck in Sacto.
That's a wrong move.
When you delegate to the CIO, you delegate discretion in a box, don't you?
But they're trying to work this.
You've given the CIO a certain delegation, but not the authority to follow one trustee's order and to make investment decisions or on their own rebalance the portfolio any way they want to do that. Policies that govern these sorts of things. Scott calls, you know, now he knows this investment's going through, calls a client rep. She's very, very happy, invites you to fly to New York in the Super Bowl, have a bottle of Chateau Margaux, a Porter House steak. Scott says, hey, this job's not so bad at all.
And he still doesn't know what alpha is. But he doesn't care.
No, but he's got Bolivia dollars to spend.
Pesos.
Right.
Job isn't so bad.
3 weeks later, before the next board meeting, the hedge fund is raided by the Bolivian government. This $200 million is lost. Scott calls the CIO.
We sure made a bad decision in appointing you to this board.
Boy. The loss is a tracking error.
Now he knows what alpha is.
By the way,
he doesn't have an alpha. He doesn't have any alpha.
Serve pro.
None of this ever happened.
Anyway,
that's, and I'm happy to give you a copy of these slides, but.
The real life case.
That's, you know, I want you to think about the things that we've talked about, the things that are in the, you know, our fiduciary conduct and ethics policy, which is Exhibit B in these materials. Let's read it. It's pretty much common sense and civility, but it's all right there. We can talk about personal interests and, you know, we went through, remember a couple years ago, we went through the Lexan decision and, you know, the board in San Diego, and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And those kind of things have now settled down to a dull roar. We don't really have to talk about if you work for the government, can you vote on these things? You know, we're not recusing people from employees or retirees, for example, from participating in discussions when their personal interest is no different than anybody else's personal interest. But if there's anything that these slides tell you is that, as the slippery slope will indicate, when your personal financial interests get involved and they're unique to you, that's when you need to call time out, get some help. Call Karen, call me, call Marilyn, talk through this and disclose it. You're the one thing that you owe to each other is not to be blindsided,
right,
or get sandbagged, or wake up in the morning and read in the Contra Costa Times, you know, that Gabe has done something that's never been disclosed to you. So I want you all to think about the obligation that you owe to each other as a collective group of fiduciaries to try to follow these rules and respect each other's responsibility in that regard.
But Harvey, before you know, that's individual and totally in agreeing with you. But where does the line when one board member or other board members feel that a board member has crossed some of this? Indirectly, do you know what I mean? They may not have the smoke. Like one of those people that was in the original lunch in that example, you know, comes up and says, you know, this, I'm feeling really bad about this. I'm feeling, I have concerns. Mm-hmm. Where do we take that? What, the board member, we do have an obligation to each other, not, like you said, no sandbag and everything, but a board member is, or other board members feel a board member is. Where do we go with that? And is it something to like CYA ourselves, we say in public session, or is it something that would be worthy of talking about in executive session? I mean, let's. I think Scott's been pocketing money. Okay, I had a little taste of it. I was at one luncheon, you know, and now as I see the big picture coming up, I have concerns. Where do I, how do I express my concerns? Do, you know, is it like I said, public, or do I ask the chair? Can I have, you know, one item on the?
Can't go into closed session because it isn't labor or litigation.
Oh, okay. I'm just.
No, I mean that's my take, but
I. In our profession, in my profession, we have a whole other set federal rules, and part of that is what's called up the chain of responsibility. It's something to think about. And it's this idea of escalating a concern like that. You believe your client or somebody has done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe a fellow board member has done something wrong, the up the chain idea would be, one, talk to that board member.
Right.
If that's not satisfactory, talk to the chair in private. If that's not satisfactory, in other words, at each level, if you get rebuffed and you still have those concerns, your responsibility is ultimately to go public and voice those concerns.
But you would suggest, or are you suggesting, or is it that the proper procedure to talk publicly? Or talk privately, because I'm just saying.
I think it's because you, first of all, you don't know what you don't know.
Or you don't want to say what you do know.
Or you might not want to say, you might not have the full story, and you don't want to be slandering somebody if you immediately go public and cry wolf about something. So, you know, it's a judgment call.
Okay.
Generally, confronting the person, you know, we have this in workplace behavior issues all the time, you know. First line is to confront the person who's you think is doing something offensive or wrong.
Okay, but
if that's not satisfactory and you still have these concerns, you have a responsibility to escalate it up the chain.
If you feel that it was illegal, you still couldn't, on the potential legality, you couldn't ask for an executive session for a discussion. I understand the restrictions on executive session.
I mean, the only times we can go into closed session on that, board members are not within the personnel exception of the Brown Act.
Okay.
So it's not like you can evaluate. This board has no ability to evaluate each other in closed session. So you can't do that under the Brown Act. So it would have to be under threatened or potential litigation. If you felt a board member was exposing the board to potential liability, then you could go in under the section that you would consult with the council about. That we've come to the point where there's a real possibility of litigation or being sued for violating the law.
All right. Well,
that could be done in closed session.
All right. In this board. You know, we had a time when our counsel, board counsel, went to the district attorney about what they felt a board member was doing and did an investigation.
That's when
it was really strange, but, you know, so that's why, I do make a joke, but that's really what I do. If I thought something was illegal, I would go talk to Brian's boss if I really felt that way. Part of it would be just to cover myself. You know, if I wasn't part of it, but if I thought somebody was really, I was convinced they're illegal, I would go. That's what I would think would be the proper procedure. If I had doubts or didn't have all the details, I would go the chain. But if I really thought, you know, it was, that's what I think my responsibility is.
But I think if you have a sense of courtesy and professionalism with the rest of the board members, I would always expect somebody first to go to the board member and say, tell me more about this, because I think this is a problem. Because I think if you unnecessarily escalate it, then you fall into this area of not knowing what you don't know, and you blow up the whatever camaraderie and cohesiveness you have on the board, perhaps for no reason.
Yeah,
And I'd let that board member know. If the answer isn't satisfactory, then, or if you don't think there's anything wrong with this and you want to proceed with this, then I'm gonna be forced to go to the next step, and I'm gonna have to go talk to the chair.
That's threatening, and I don't think that's my
role
either.
That's not threatening. It just says this is a problem. I'm concerned enough about the problem that if we can't work this out and you don't see the problem, I can't show you what the issue is here to your satisfaction. Then I'm just letting you know I'm going to have to go
to
the chair.
Let's go together.
Go together. The chair and find out if it's just me that feels this way. I certainly wouldn't.
But see, you're negotiating.
Not negotiation. I'm just not going to jump the shark and go to the DA's office. Because you can't.
I'm not suspected
illegality at that point, and that blows up the board, I think.
Okay. I don't take it lightly. It's not like an automatic, but.
it's been Mike's, I don't think that if I have a real problem with someone, I would go to them and say, can we work this out?
Not work it out. Tell me more about the issue. I see it as a problem. What part don't you see as a problem? What am I missing? And maybe I can show you what you're missing, because I think we've got a problem.
You don't negotiate.
That's not negotiation to me, because if you don't get a satisfactory answer at that point, then either together, I suggest that, or I go to the chair. This is a problem.
Okay. Any other questions?
Okay.
Comments?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Karen was going to do a presentation on the Brown Act. We could do that today, or we can put it off to another day. I mean, we are running kind of late. I'll leave it up to the board.
Can everybody pass the top quiz? It sounds like you know the rules.
Top quiz. Well, was the quiz going to tell us who, what, who, which Brown?